We hear often about probiotics and gut health and the importance of prioritizing probiotics and gut health. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming to know, where do we start? What do we do? What brand should we trust? Well, an easy place to start is with Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic and PDS08 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic. They are clinically studied probiotic and prebiotic formulations that are easy to add to your family's daily routine, and they help support whole body health for parents and kids. One of the things I love about seed probiotics, the DS01 and the PDS08, is that they don't need refrigeration. So it's so convenient, you can take it on the go. I also recommend that you, if you're wanting to start this habit, stack it onto another habit. So what is something that you do every morning? Every morning, do you eat breakfast? Well, as soon as you eat breakfast, let that be your reminder to also take your probiotic. You can even set it out at night because, like I said, it doesn't need to be refrigerated. So set it out at night right by where you're going to prep your breakfast in the morning as a reminder to take it. The DS01 Daily Symbiotic, which is for 18 and over, this is for adults, the one that I've been taking, is backed by rigorous scientific validation. It's formulated with 24 scientifically and clinically studied strains for benefits across gut, skin, and heart health, and it's extensively tested for potency, purity, and contaminants. Invest in your whole family's health with Seed. Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month of DS01 Daily Symbiotic or PDS08 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 or PDS08 at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal.
Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's topic is one that I didn't think we'd be talking about, but I mentioned something on Instagram stories a few weeks ago talking about parenting adult children and talking about how there's just a lot going on with our older kids right now, and it feels like I need to be spending all day on my knees in prayer for them. And that really inspired a lot of conversations in my messages. And then I ended up writing an Instagram post on this topic of what no one ever tells you about having older kids / adult children. And it was just so well received that I thought it'd be really fun to sit down and have a conversation, Jesse, with you and get your perspective as well. We're only a year into this, but I think there's a lot that we've learned, a lot that has been surprising to us, a lot that we didn't know, a lot that we wish people would have talked about beforehand. And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to go there. But first, I set a goal for this summer. I want to have a slowed down summer. And I actually set this goal at the very beginning of the year, and we've been working towards that with the business so that I can spend as little time as possible and still run the business. So keep the business afloat, but spend as little time as possible during the summer months. And it helps that my right and left hand woman is going to be on maternity leave. So we decided to not have any projects over the summer because of that. And that is going to free me up to have a lot fewer hours to work. So my real heart and goal for this summer is to just be able to be present with the kids. I feel like last summer I wanted that, but I didn't prepare well for it. And so we worked really hard the first few months of the year to produce products and to do a lot of different things to set things up so that I can hopefully work no more than 3 hours a day during the summer. And I'm just really excited about having a slowed down summer. And we put together a freebie if you also would like to have more family time and maybe a slower pace this summer with 100 different family fun activities that are free or very low cost. So We set it up that there is a sheet that you can print out if you just want to stick that on your fridge for some ideas. But we also made them so that you can cut them into strips. So if you want to put them in a jar and then every day you just pull one out, and then that is your fun family activity for that day or that week. We just wanted to give you options there. And some of these are some of our family's favorite things to do together. And then also I pulled the moms on my team and we came up with this list of 100 ideas. So we'll put the link in the show notes. It's completely free to download it. And I hope that it just inspires you to create a summer bucket list, because that's something that we love to do. What are some things that we want to do this summer? And maybe we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But along those lines, I read a book recently that I really loved. It was called Tired of Being Tired by Jess Connolly. I was supposed to have her on the podcast, and she had a family crisis happen and she wasn't able to be on the podcast. But her book, I would highly recommend if you just feel emotionally drained, physically drained, exhausted, and you're just tired of being tired. She gives lots of practical strategies, but also just spiritual encouragement. Sometimes the tiredness isn't because we're not getting enough sleep. Sometimes it is. But it could also be because our heart is in a dysfunctional place. We're chasing after approval from others, or we're trying to please people. We're trying to be somebody that we weren't created to be. And so we're over here just spinning our wheels, working so hard and exhausting ourselves. And it's really a heart issue, not necessarily the fact that we just need more sleep, although sleep is always a great thing. So we will link to that in the show notes. And then Jesse, we got a request. We actually had multiple people email in and ask a question that was related to you. Something that you said on a podcast episode recently, people wanted more information. So I'm going to read this email that came from Elaine. Like I said, this came from multiple people.
This could go anywhere. I'm very interested.
I'm not going to put you too much on the spot, but
too much being okay. The key word.
Listening to your podcast is helping motivate me to walk more as I am listening to them as I walk. I just listened to your podcast about the simple systems that keep you sane, and Jesse mentioned an app he uses called To-Do, but I looked it up on the App Store and I am not sure which one he's referring to. Could you clarify this? So we got multiple requests for you to explain more about this app and how people can find it, because I think you must have mentioned it in passing and we didn't link it in the show notes. And so people have been trying to find it and not been able to find it.
Okay. Well, I will look it up myself to see if it's still there. It's called the Apigo To-Do app.
So Apigo To-Do.
A-P-P-I-G-O. And I've been using it for a decade. I mean, so it might not be on there.
Back whenever you had to use dial-up to download things.
Right?
He downloaded it on his very first iPhone.
Second. Actually, it might have been my first, actually.
You have been using this for a very long time.
Yeah, it's still on there. It's actually To-Do Cloud, because it did not used to be cloud-based. They transitioned to being cloud-based a while ago. And so you can also get it on your desktop and it syncs up pretty well.
Free or is it a cost?
It is free, but it's limited. Now, I can't see on here because I already have it. It just says open next to it. It doesn't say exactly if the app itself costs. But there is a subscription that you can pay for $30 a year. I think it's about $30 that I've been paying because it's so helpful.
And you use this app to tell us more about how you use it.
I just use it as a to-do, and I have recurring tasks throughout the year. So if I have something that I want to get done once a year, I just put it on there and to recur every year. And it's kind of like my brain.
So like some random Wednesday in April, it'll recur and it'll remind you, oh, I'm supposed to do this every year.
I need to change this filter that I need to change every year. Yes. Or I need to buy a new one.
So you use it very similar to how I use Google Calendar.
Yes.
It's just in a written list form in an app on your phone. Okay. Well, there y'all go. For those of you who ask. We will link it in the show notes, but Apigo to do. And yes, you have been using it for a very long time. I also think it, if I'm correct, it changes colors if things are, is this correct?
There are different colors because you can have different smart lists. So you can have your work list, you can have your home list, you can have, and then they don't combine. So those are different colors so you can differentiate.
I was also thinking if something was
if it's overdue. Yes, you can see if it's overdue. Also, you can create projects, you can create checklists, and you can create just individual tasks. So if you have a multi-layered project that you want to have done, so you can have multiple checklists within that project, you can create that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Everyone knows that I'm not really into apps, although I kind of use my Google Calendar a bit as an app because I use it on my phone. So it's just a different way for people. Different brains work differently. And so I think it's great to have.
Mine's the correct way.
Different options. Although I will say the only reason I knew that overdue turned colors was because.
And there's so many things that are overdue on there.
When you have it open and I'm looking over your shoulder, I'm like,
that's funny.
How are you functioning? That would just make me feel like a failure. But your brain, it's the same way with your email inbox. You can have thousands of emails in there and it doesn't bother you. You can miss very important emails. In fact, you have missed some deadlines of some very important things. And you know what?
Not very many.
Not very many, but you have. And so I have learned that if I need to make sure for you to see an email, I send you a text as well. And then sometimes a reminder text. Did you see the email that I sent in your inbox? It needs to be taken care of today. And that seems to work pretty well.
Yeah. If you say it needs to be taken care of today.
I have to give a deadline. Yes. Mm-hmm. I've learned 21 years of marriage and I am finally figuring out. And you know, it's just little things like that. This is total aside. But I think figuring out systems that work for your marriage and mm-hmm. work for communication, because I used to be so frustrated. I send you an email and it would be something that needed to be taken care of and it would get buried. And that would be really frustrating to me. And so I think now to recognize, oh, there's a good chance he's not going to see the email unless I call it out. Every once in a blue moon, you go through your entire inbox. Mm-hmm. Takes you about 5 days. No. but just
far from the truth.
For me, learning instead of being frustrated,
okay.
figuring out the way to communicate.
Wait.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no, what's he gonna come back with?
I've got like 10 email inboxes. So
okay. Yes, you do. And they all are overflowing. So that's not really
helpful. No, I have a method to the madness.
You do.
Sometimes there's a lot of madness, though.
little method and a lot of madness. But anyway, just figuring out those systems that work so then I no longer am frustrated. Knowing, okay, I send you a text, you're going to see that. And I give a date on the text. And typically I find, you know, giving you like, it needs to be taken care of today or it needs to be taken care of by tomorrow. And then that motivates you and you will get it done. And sometimes even...
No, that doesn't motivate me. That just puts it to the top of my list.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What's the difference between... That's an aside. But what's the difference between it motivating you versus putting to the top of your list? I'm
internally motivated to do it as opposed to externally motivated by the fact that you texted and sent several different reminders and are pressuring me to get it done.
Pressuring?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
No, it's just that reminder where you wouldn't see it. Like, if you saw it, you would take care of it.
Or, well, I mean, this is a whole nother topic on a different podcast, or badgering. I mean, that just depends on how you look at it.
Okay, I was trying to give a really, like, positive thing about coming up with systems, and now you're turning into... I am nitpicking, nagging, badgering.
I never said nitpicking.
No, you just invert. Anyway, okay, let's move on. There are some things we've learned.
I think I hit on some things we need to talk about.
Maybe a future podcast, we could talk about that. But I do feel like that having that where I just, instead of expecting that you'll see it in your inbox, I know that you'll see the text. And if I put a deadline on it, I know that you'll go find the email and go take care of it. And then, and then you have also learned one of the things that's important to me is for you to say, I took care of it.
Yes, that's very important. Yeah.
Because if you don't let me know, then it's still like an open window in my browser that it hasn't been taken care of.
Which is just weird. You have open browser windows in your brain. It's
I think it's more like tabs, but anyway.
Five words.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. If you've heard me talk at all over the last few years, you know that I went through a season where I had very severe seasonal allergies, and it took me a while to figure out what was triggering it, and it was debilitating. If you've ever suffered from this, I actually had my polyps got really swollen in my nose, and then I got chronic rhinitis, so I could not smell out of my nose. And not only that, but I would have these really awful headaches, the kind that just kept me from being able to enjoy my life. And I started going to an ENT, and one of the things that he recommended was Claritin D. And so for a time period, I took Claritin, and it was such a help to me. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. It works so well. I am a living testament to how well it works. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you've ever suffered from seasonal allergies, if you can relate to kind of some of the things that I have experienced and you want some relief, I highly recommend checking out Claritin D. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Okay, so this might seem like a bit TMI, but we're going to go there. If you are going through menopause or perimenopause and you are just struggling to figure out how to manage hormones and all the weird different things going on with your body, or maybe you're just struggling with your hormones in general, you need to check out Hormone Harmony. I have been seeing this all over the internet. It's not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's truly become a phenomenon, and women cannot stop talking about it. I have seen it all over social media. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If that doesn't say something about how many of us would really like to be able to regulate our hormones better. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. And clearly it works based upon how many people are talking about it. In fact, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony, and I am excited to be trying it out and just to really be making the goal of health for this year something that is my priority. And as someone who is 42 years old, I know that working on my hormones is something that is really important. If you want to join me for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use coupon code CRYSTAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CRYSTAL for 15% off today. Are you ready to revamp your summer wardrobe so you're ready for all the sunny days ahead? Well, right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect summer wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. Because here's the thing,
after you go to their website. They have a 5-minute style quiz that you take, and then they recommend clothes based upon that style quiz. I love this so much because I struggle to pick out clothes. I'm not very good at it. And so there's the thought of going into the store and trying to put together outfits feels overwhelming to me. So I love that I could pick out what I liked in the style quiz and tell them what looked like my type and my style and things that I was drawn to. And then they recommended clothes for me. And let me tell you, they nailed it. In fact, one of the pairs of jeans that they picked out for me, I was like, that's not really the type of thing that I would typically wear, but I'm going to try because it does look cute on the model. Well, I got it. And I instantly fell in love, so much so that I have worn these jeans, I am not kidding, at least 3 to 4 to even 5 times a week since I got them. And like I said, right now, my listeners can give Amoir a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit amoir.style/crystal. That is amoir.style, amoir.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Amoir today. What no one ever tells you about having older kids / adult children. And like I said, we're only a year into this. We'd love to hear from you, those of you who are much further along. This is an Instagram post that we're going to kind of base this on. And so we'll link to that in the show notes because I invited people in the comments to share more about what they've learned. And there were some really wise things shared. But I think, you know, we've talked a lot on the podcast about how wonderful it is to watch your kids stretch their wings and learn to fly. Mm-hmm. But along with that, it's like the flip side of all of these things. It's really hard not to want to jump in and strap a parachute on them. Like when they're jumping out to stretch their wings and flying and you're like, I don't know, how's this going to work? And mm-hmm. as parents, as they get older and you really have to let go, it's hard.
It is.
It is hard.
How many times have you seen a butterfly coming out of a chrysalis that you want to help it? But the problem is if you try to help it, you're hurting the butterfly.
Do you spend a lot of time watching butterflies come out of chrysalis?
No, on TV.
Yes, but it's that thing that with our kids, like if we constantly are coming in and paving the way and bubble wrapping and micromanaging and doing the things for them, they're never going to learn how to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And different kids are different and they're going to need help in different ways, but teaching them to ask for help rather than assuming that they can't do it. And so it's that letting go of not jumping in and strapping on a parachute. And mm-hmm. that could look like, you know, they find themselves in a really difficult spot in their job and you want to send an email to their boss, or you want to walk in with them and have a conversation, or you want to tell them how they should approach the conversation when they haven't even asked you for your input, or you're just like, quit that job altogether because you don't want them to get hurt. There are situations with friendships or relationships where you have to let go. And sure, we have lots of conversations, but I really try to have them be the one that they are leading the conversations versus me coming in and being like, so what are you going to do about this? Mm-hmm. What about this? Have you thought about this? Are you sure that's going to work? That we're constantly, you know, like you were talking about the badgering or the nagging them, we have to let them be adults.
Right.
And that's hard to do when for all their life, we've been the ones to help them with all those things. And that's why I think it's so important that as they get older, you know, when they're 10, 11, 12, start giving them opportunities to practice this in small little ways where that if they jump off the cliff and splat, it's not going to be this really traumatic sort of
splat.
lifelong injuries to them,
right.
You know, so small ways that they can start handling things on their own. Like if they are frustrated with a situation with a teacher at school, instead of me sending an email, you help them write the email
And then, so then by the time they're 14, 15, 16, they know to just go to administration or write the email themselves without even telling us, which our kids have done so many times. Sometimes I'm like, maybe we should have talked about that ahead of time. But no, I'm really happy for them to feel confident enough to do it themselves. And so right. looking for little ways when they're younger to start practicing this. It's also so amazing to watch them develop relationships and build community, but it breaks your heart in pieces to watch them walk through hurt that you can't fix. And it's really hard because I think, you know, when they're little, when they're preschoolers, if they're in a situation where somebody's bullying them or it's just a really bad, dysfunctional situation, you're going to probably take them out of that. Like, you're not going to have them be in a situation where they're getting...
There's no probably.
Yes, where they're being verbally abused or anything like that. But as they get older, like, you can't just run in and just take them out of that, you know, pick them up and be like, okay, we're not going to this preschool anymore. Okay, we're not going to, you know, this is not working.
That's when you give them tools to confront the situation, whether it's confronting or whether it's retreating, whatever that one may be. That's where you help lead, teach, provide the tools.
And again, that's when they're 10, 11, 12, that you are talking with them and helping them navigate the drama that is going to sometimes come up. You know, somebody said something to them at school, or they said something they shouldn't have said, or someone wrote something about them online or gave them a note, or they did. And then you're helping them learn how to navigate those situations instead of just navigating it for them. You're saying, you know, praying with them and talking with them about leaning into the Holy Spirit, and then helping them have tools to walk through that so that more and more and more they're empowered. But it's still really hard when they're adults or almost adults and they're walking through stuff where they're getting hurt. They're getting their heart broken and you can't fix it. Like, it's out of your hands and you just have to pray for them and love them and be a soft place for them to land. It's so incredible to get to cheer them on as they get jobs, win awards, and get recognized for their hard work. But it's devastating to watch them be passed over or not picked.
One thing I was just thinking of, though, you want to provide them a safe place where they can come, right? I've seen many times where if we are try to jump in and take care of situations and kind of maybe step in before they want us to, they no longer see us as a safe place. So we're kind of almost, while we're trying to protect them, we're hurting our opportunity to make them feel like we're a safe place later to come to, because they're like, I don't know, I can't trust that they're going to react the way that I want them to.
Well, and I think in that same vein, we've had some situations where a child has been in a relationship or they've wanted to pursue a relationship that we had some cautions over, and really praying about it, you and I both felt strongly that it was not an unsafe situation. We just didn't love the situation. And we both felt very strongly that we were supposed to be quiet and let them walk it out. And that was so hard because we didn't want it. Like, it was not what we would have chosen. And yet we see how, because we didn't just rescue them from it. We didn't just say, no, you cannot be in a relationship with this person. We let them walk it out and experience some hard stuff with us, you know, walking with them. And saying from the get-go, we're not in favor of this. Like, we have some real cautions about this. But they wanted to keep going ahead. And then when things kind of fell apart and they got hurt, they saw firsthand, oh, that's why you had those cautions. And that has been so much more powerful than were we to just say, no. Stop. You know, and I think there is a time, especially when your child is a younger teen, mid-teens, where you need to step in if it's an unsafe situation. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just not the best.
Right.
Like, not what you would choose. And them learning through the school of hard knocks actually is a much more powerful tool for the rest of their life.
It also builds trust. They now trust us a lot more and say, oh, that's why that you felt that way.
And I think in this particular case we're talking about, this child now really wants our counsel and our perspective and our wisdom on a situation, on a relationship, because they've seen, oh, my parents actually weren't being crazy. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were talking about some of the time. But it's really hard, especially for me, because I'm such a fixer, to step back and just let it be and let it play out and really just trust God for my child. And yet I saw God work so powerfully. And every day I would pray. And every day I just felt that prompting from the Holy Spirit, wait, just trust me, just wait. And I look back and see how God used that in such a profound way in this child's life that will impact them for the rest of their life. When they're younger, like we were talking about, the solutions are often so much simpler when there are problems. But when they get older, things are much more complex, complicated, and even life-altering. And so just the gravity and the weight of that can feel heavy. Like I was talking about, you know, feeling like I need to be on my knees all day long for my kids as they get older, because they're just grappling with, walking through, dealing with stuff that a lot of it is right now good stuff, but it's stuff that it's big stuff and it's a lot. So I think that learning to release them to the Lord, learning to trust God, that He loves our kids even more than we do. He's a trustworthy God, and really listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit and how He's guiding and leading us. Praying every single day for our kids. One of the things I do is start my day with going on a walk and praying over my day and praying for each of my kids. And that's just such a good time. I've talked about this before on the podcast, I think, but such a good time for me to name each child and then to just stop and really thank God for the blessings. Thank God for, you know, just answers to prayer that I saw the day before, what God is doing in their lives. And then also to pray for them for very specific things of what they're walking through, grappling with, struggling with, just caring. And so just stopping to pray for each of them individually, that's been so helpful. And a lot of times God will prompt me during that prayer time, oh, you didn't finish that conversation that you had with the child. You should try to go back today and finish that conversation. Or I'll think, you know what, yesterday, there's just something seemed off in the way they responded in that particular instance. I'm going to circle back around today and just ask them about that. And I can't tell you how many times me asking a question because of something that was prompted during my prayer time has turned into them confessing something, sharing something that they'd been carrying that felt really heavy, that they were kind of, you know, ashamed of or didn't want to talk about, or just that they didn't have the words to express it. They just knew something felt really heavy. And so then it gave me the opportunity to be able to process it with them. And all this to say, I think one of the things that is not talked about enough is that when kids are young, it's physically exhausting. There's the diapers to change, the middle of the night feeds. They can't make their own food. They can't take themselves potty. They can't buckle and unbuckle themselves out of the car seat. Like, they need you for almost every single thing for their survival. But as they get older and they're so much more independent, it's not as physically demanding and they don't usually need you to physically care for them, but it's much more emotionally demanding as you watch them process through big things and struggle through hard things where there aren't quick fixes or easy solutions. So I just hope that us talking about this encourages someone. Maybe you are heading into having high schoolers or adult children. You're getting ready to launch a child. Or maybe you're in the thick of it. And I just want you to know that you're not alone. And it is a lot. But also, it's such a privilege to have a front row seat to it all. There's such a gift in getting to watch our kids get older and see them stepping out in faith, see them confronting hard things and walking through difficult things, see them learning to ask for help, see them relying upon Jesus. And also, it causes me to pray like I've never prayed, learning to let go like I've never needed to let go, release things to God, to trust God for my child, and ultimately to need Jesus like I've never needed him before. And I can tell you over and over and over and over and over this past year, there have been so many different things, so many things that we haven't been able to talk about publicly on the podcast or online because it's our children's stories. But there's been so many things that we walked through, and I've seen God's faithfulness. Even when things didn't make sense, even when my heart was broken for my child, God has been faithful. He has been faithful. He is faithful, and he will be faithful. And so the biggest takeaway for me that I'm leaning into in parenting older and adult children is I need Jesus like I've never needed him before. And I get to see him be faithful like I've never seen him be faithful before.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.